Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680, as we get ready for Giants baseball, joined by Nick Pecoro of the Arizona Republic. And if it's Arizona baseball, there's only one guy I talk to, Steve Gilbert. No, I mean Nick Pecoro. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing good, Marty. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show. Nick, Arizona Diamondbacks, a lot of action over the winter. Goldschmidt is gone. Corbin is gone. Pollock is gone. So let's catch up a little bit with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think expectations have changed a little bit around here. It's kind of a, you know, they're starting to transition into a different direction. I think that they kept a lot of the team together. They certainly could have torn it down a lot more than they did. They're still bringing back a lot of talented players, guys like Zach Greinke and Robbie Ray in the rotation, you know, Jake Lamb and Steven Souza, David Peralta, Nick Ahmed, guys that you've heard of, guys that are big leaguers and guys that are that have a place in, you know, on a winning team. They don't really have the big dogs anymore, though, you know, and I think that they're hoping that, you know, that some things click. I think they're hoping that guys can stay healthy, guys can bounce back from, you know, down years last year, and that maybe they can contend. But I think if they don't, they're not going to hesitate to kind of continue to shift directions, which they sort of did the first big domino of that in December when they traded Paul Goldschmidt to the Cardinals. I think they're not going to hesitate to continue to trade off more of those parts. You know, some of those guys are running low on years of control. Probably aren't, you know, the kind of guys that they're going to be looking to build around necessarily. So I think that this is a big year, that this first 6 to 8 weeks is probably going to be really important to their season.
Sounds a lot like the Giants, to tell you the truth. The first 6 or 8 weeks of the Giants season will dictate what Farhan will do by July the 31st. What about the Goldschmidt trade, what they got back for Goldschmidt? How is that fitting in?
Yeah, so the two pieces that they got on the big league roster, catcher Carson Kelly and right-hander Luke Weaver, they're both going to end up on the big league roster right away, play big roles. I think Weaver is slotted in probably as the number four starter, Carson Kelly, you know, going to get a lot of, you know, a lot of playing time behind the plate. I don't know if that makes him the number one catcher, if he's going to start off a little bit behind Alex Avila, and maybe, I think they're probably hoping he grows into a bigger role. They like both those guys, and they like both them as you know, contributors for, you know, several years. So, you know, it's one of those deals where most of the time you trade a superstar player, it's hard to win that trade, you know. And I think when you're trading a guy with 1 year of control in this day and age, the way that front offices value that sort of thing, it makes it even harder to extract, you know, real upside or real long-term value. I think that they realize that, you know, you're not going to get one guy coming in here and putting up numbers like Paul Goldschmidt. But I think that they felt like, you know, taking the chance of going into the trade deadline with Goldschmidt, taking the chance of having him walk at the end of the season and getting only a draft pick, if they were unable to re-sign him, I think that they felt like it just wasn't a chance they were willing to take. It wasn't a smart risk in their estimation.
Nick Pecoro with us. The Arizona Republic, of course, covers the Diamondbacks here in Arizona, the beat writer. Nick, if there was an important guy on the offensive side, and we know Greinke, Robbie Ray, Godley, the bullpen guys that are important, Greg Holland is here. But if there was an offensive guy, say, boy, this is the guy that's got to pick it up, who would you pick?
Well, it's a hard thing to answer. I mean, to say pick it up would mean that I can't say David Peralta is the most important guy, but he's coming off a career year, and I think they're obviously going to need him to be that big bat now in the middle of the lineup, now that Goldschmidt's gone. To say pick it up, I guess, I mean, Jake Lamb had a real down year, you know, was playing through a shoulder injury that ultimately required surgery, and Steven Souza, too, was having some shoulder problems. I think both of those guys are the two guys that they're really going to be counting on. You know, and Souza's a tough one because, you know, you look at his career, he's really only had one good season, and even in that season it was really kind of a good first half more than a full season, so I don't know if it's fair to expect him to kind of turn into this run producing beast. He certainly has all the ability in the world, he just hasn't really done it yet at the big league level. So Lamb is kind of the guy that he's done it before, he's been an all-star, he's hit 30 home runs, he's hitting the heart of an order. Again, there's some limitations there, he doesn't hit left-hand pitching. So I don't know. I mean, they've got a lot of guys in this lineup that are kind of interchangeable. They have a lot of, you know, now that they've added Adam Jones, they've got a lot of options. They've got a lot of depth. They've got a lot of ability to kind of play matchups and hopefully mix and match and generate some offense. that said, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical. I look at that lineup. I just, like I said earlier, there's not that one guy that you can kind of count on, that you can kind of bank on being there day in and day out. I feel like they're a lineup that maybe is going to score zero or one run less often, but aren't going to score seven or eight runs very often. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. No, absolutely. It sounds a lot like the Giants, to tell you the truth. Questions on offense. Can the guys bounce back, not only stay healthy, but have good years? And that's where the Giants are. Adam Jones is here. He waited a long time to get here, and now he's here. What's your impression of Adam Jones?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not totally sold on his fit because it doesn't seem like he's really a center fielder anymore. He's getting a little up there in age. How shaky must he have been in center field for the Orioles to have been willing to move him off the position last year? I know some of that was probably looking ahead and trying to get a young player in Cedric Mullins some at bats in center field, but still it kind of says something. The numbers have never liked him in center field. He's a year older. He's, by StatCast, I think the slowest center field in baseball. The Diamondbacks are going to be trying to mitigate a little bit of that with positioning, with having a couple of good corner guys surrounding him in Peralta and Souza. It seems to me a little bit of a dicey proposition, especially when you're looking at the National League West, right? I mean, you're talking about five enormous outfields, certainly three huge ones right off the bat, and it's a tough division to try to cut corners defensively in the outfield. We'll see. Ketel Marte has played a lot of center field already this spring, has looked tremendous for a guy that's mostly been a second baseman and a shortstop. I am at least blown away by how easy he makes it look out there. Tracks fly balls really well. Plays balls off the wall really well. Just kind of looks like a natural. I don't know. We'll see what Adam Jones looks like. I kind of wonder if Ketel Marte isn't going to be their better option in terms of just pure covering ground. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, Jones is a guy that he's a 280 hitter still. He puts the bat on the ball. He doesn't walk a lot. Got a little power still. He's a professional hitter. I haven't seen a lot of him in my life. I assume you're similar. It's just kind of hard to catch the Orioles sometimes, but seems like a guy that takes pretty good at bats, puts the bat on the ball, and there's some value to that, especially in a day and age when so many guys swing and miss and so many guys don't hit for average.
Yeah, good clubhouse guy too, right, which is good. Nick Pecoro wrapping it up with us. June 1st, who's the closer? Greg Holland, Archie Bradley?
On June 1st. What about Yoan Lopez?
Okay.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Holland's velocity has been a little bit down this spring. I don't know if that's just, the classic veteran not throwing that hard. All of a sudden the lights turn on. He's throwing 95 again. I don't know. Archie's looked pretty good. He's got that curveball back. He had an issue with his fingernail last year that kept him from throwing a good curveball. It seems like he's got that under control now. That's a good question. Put a gun to my head here. I don't know. I'm curious to see as much as everybody else.
All right. Nick, great to have you on as always. Always look forward to seeing you up in San Francisco, and we appreciate having you on. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
All right. That is Nick Pecoro, Arizona Republic. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.